Welcome to the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game, and they never got the girls in high school, and they just want to get in the game.
With your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
See, the thing is, you guys look at me, you see the backwards hat, the gray socks, the funky outfit, and you say, now this guy's a chump, am I right?
No, f***ing geek. I'm a f***ing geek.
Only on the VSIN Podcast Network.
All right, welcome in another edition of Hardwood Handicappers. New schedule. We're actually going to start doing these twice a week now, once on Tuesdays, once on Fridays. Helps me out with the schedule, and we can get more people involved, like Aaron Ring, professional handicapper, NBA hoops capper extraordinaire at ER Sports One up on Twitter. It's about Tuesday night, 5:30 over on the West Coast. What's up, man? How you been?
Glad to join you, JVT. I mean, I tell you what, with the popularity of this, you're going to be doing this like 5 days a week soon.
There have been demands. There have been requests that these are happen more frequently. So that's why we added an episode. So hey, it's always cool.
But I have to say, I mean, you're doing a great job with the daily write-ups Monday through Friday. I believe you're red hot. I don't know what your record is at this point, but I try to read that as often as I can.
I appreciate that. Yeah. When you're hitting over, even though it's a small sample size, only a month in, when you're hitting over 60%, you can feel pretty good about it. So it's been a good start to the season. And I know that when you and I were talking early in the year, you've been off to a pretty good start too. Has that maintained itself?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable, to be honest. I mean, I had a great year last year after a slow first month. And I'm like, man, it's probably not going to get any better than this. And it's gotten better, JVT. So knock on wood, but, you know, always a little bit tougher after the first month of the season. Just kind of reinvent yourself and find some new avenues to make some money on.
So let's talk. You're a big totals guy. So let's talk about the biggest topic, I think, of the season up to this point. And that, of course, would be these games going under the total. And at a rate, it's astounding, not only the rate that they're going under, ER, because, you know, I write a weekly betting report for Point Spread Weekly. At this point right now, I've got unders at about 153, 104, and 5. So just over a 60% edge at this point right now for unders for the season. But it's not just the clip that they're coming in. You know, I tweeted it out this morning. The average total has gone down every single week. The first week, the average total was 223.1 at close. This past week, it was 214.5. Like, we've seen an astounding adjustment by odds makers, and yet these games continue to go under the total. So before we get to the reasons, like, is this something that you have, as a totals better, been tracking and taking advantage of?
Yeah, I mean, I really have. I mean, I'm always kind of an under better to begin with. And yeah, I've done great with the totals. And I've probably just kind of ridden things out a little bit longer than I would have in the past. So, yeah, I just haven't really seen a significant reason to get off, you know, just continuing to bet a lot of these games under the total. But, you know, I think the best rule of thumb you can have when you see trends like this developing is anything that you lean to under the total, play it. You know, if you like it over, you probably need to really like it. If it's just kind of a lean, you know, throw it out. And then, yeah, bet your unders with a little bit more, bet your overs for a little less. It's kind of what I try to do, and I think it's probably helped my ROI, my return on investment with that. And yeah, we can get into the reasons why this is happening, etc. But yeah, whenever you get this, and it seems like the numbers have kind of caught up at this point, JVT. In fact, you know, the overs have gotten bet at least the last couple nights, still haven't quite come in, but there's definitely some resistance on playing these unders right now.
Yeah, I think we're starting to find the area that we're starting to go back toward the other direction. You know, if you go back, I think it was so lately in the middle of last week, I think it was Wednesday, there was like a 1-9 in one day to the under. But then since then, the overs have taken each of the last, I want to say, 3 days or so or 4 days. So we're starting to find that point where it's starting to make its way back. And, you know, I'm like, it's funny, like, you know me, I've talked to you before. I have tried to find my footing on totals. It hasn't been the best, but I've been betting them a little bit more this year because of this. And like, it's totals, like right now I'm on this under, we're recording this on Thursday night. So we're in the midst of a Heat to Pistons game. I've got this thing under 208. You know what I mean? Like, these are low totals that you're betting on, and still like, right, you got a fighting chance, you know?
Yeah, I was doing that with some Cleveland Cavaliers unders, and you know, man, it's not easy betting under 202, 203, but, you know, they die in the fourth quarter or or what have you. You know, and it's fascinating, JBT. I don't know the exact reasoning. I mean, some of it was just the correction from bubble basketball to regular basketball, right? You know, the scores are, you know, we've seen it in every sport. NFL, the scoring is down from where it was, you know, from the bubble games last year, et cetera. It's just not as easy to create the offense. The shooting certainly hasn't been the same, but there's definitely more to it. I mean, for the shooting to be as bad as it is, it's just not, you know, the bubble effect that's going on with that situation. Obviously, free throws are down. What JVT, one interesting thing right now, the last couple of weeks, is the pace has really come down. You know, the free throws have kind of teetered, you know, kind of back. I would say they're probably going to trend maybe up a little bit. But the pace has really gone down by a number of these teams. And, you know, again, that's not all that uncommon. You see these teams come into the season, New York Knicks, Cleveland Cavaliers. Hey, we're going to run. We're going to get up and down the floor. And that lasts like two or three games. And then they go back to their plotting self. So it is a perfect storm. It's just a combination of a lot of things. But it's you know, there definitely has to be some more explanation that goes into, you know, how just poor the shooting has been.
Yeah, and it's weird trying to figure it out. And, it, you know, it's interesting. So in the write-up this week that I just submitted Tuesday, the average offensive efficiency of teams in non-garbage time minutes is actually the highest it's been all season this week. It's at 108.3, according to Cleaning the Glass. I think it's what I got right here. 108.3. So, you know, the pace has slowed down. To your point, I don't really know why. And that's kind of what we're talking about, right? Like, none of these things, I don't really understand why. And so we'll see if maybe there's a correction. But, you know, going back to the point of we're starting to reach where we're kind of swinging into the other direction, I think with this, the average offensive efficiency starting to tick up a little bit here, them getting used to these foul calls, which is, you know, that's the other part about this, right? The fouls call, they're allowing them to get a little bit more physical. Some of these players have been pretty vocal about their dislike for it. So I think there's going to be a point where these officials start to maybe go back in the other direction, where they start to look a little bit more like the way they were calling games a season ago. So that'll probably help things out too, in terms of like free throws and things like that. But ultimately, it's just, we're reaching a point where now we're going to start to swing in the other direction. And all of these things are going to come together to, you know, approach more higher scoring games. I don't know if we reached like last year ER, where we're talking about like average total 224.1 and the average offensive rating was 112.9. But I think we're going to start to approach a little bit more of the basketball we're kind of used to, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever get back to that all-time high, to be honest. I don't know. You know, the bubble basketball was crazy, the shot making, et cetera. You know, I think some of that was as well, JVT. I mean, you know, you think about it during the pandemic, et cetera, especially the early portions of the pandemic. I mean, all player could really do is shoot. You know, he had to be kind of by himself, maybe work with a guy or two, and all you could do is really shoot. And, you know, that continued for quite a long time. And, you know, all that was on these guys' minds was basketball. You're in the bubble. You couldn't really do anything else. And then I think, you know, probably this offseason, guys probably didn't work and keep as sharp as they normally do as well. I think that has something to do with it, the new basketball, et cetera. But, yeah, I agree. I would expect the sharpness and the shooting to go up to a certain degree. But, no, I don't think we're going to get – this year, I don't think we'll get to a 224 average total.
This is the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast. Interact with the show on Twitter at me, JVT, and at VSIN Live.
No. So with that, with the totals out of the way, because that's the bigger story, so there's a lot going on in the league in terms of individual teams and, you know, storylines and where they've all been. So there's a couple of teams I want to get your thoughts on, but I'll start in the Western Conference because, you know, one of the teams that I've been surprised by, I think everybody's been surprised by the level of dominance. Not that they're a good team, because they have one of the best players, if not the best player in basketball on their team, but that'd be the Golden State Warriors. First in net rating right now, second in offense, first in defense. The defense isn't a great surprise. They were fifth in defensive efficiency last season. This is one of the better defensive teams they have been for a really long time in the NBA. But what have you made of Golden State, and where do you have them right now? For me, I mean, in a Western Conference that has Phoenix, and that's about it, like Utah, we can get to their issues if you have something there, but they're the highest power-rated team for me in the Western Conference, and they are right up there as the highest power-rated team next to Milwaukee for me when Milwaukee's fully healthy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny because I would say probably the last 10 days, I've kind of had to double-check and reevaluate my power rating for Golden State, because I'll look at it and I'll be like, this can't be right, can it? And it probably is a little bit high, but, you know, that just probably goes to tell you that I have this team power rated through the roof. I mean, both offensively and defensively, this team has gotten it done. They've been very tight in the early season, really haven't had a lot of bad games. You know, the one game down in Charlotte, I think they started the road trip with the loss there.
I mean, that was a clear, I think, you know, these teams get caught in these spots. They had Brooklyn, right, a night later. I think they were getting ready for a game which they clearly took very personally and really wanted to win, you know?
Yeah, I followed them up with a bet against Brooklyn. And, yeah, they pulled away in the second half, kind of made a statement. So looking at my numbers now, JVT, I actually have Golden State, Phoenix, and Utah all kind of bunched together.
Okay. So let me ask you this then, because Phoenix, clearly they've won 12 straight there. They've been absolutely incredible. They've covered 8 of those games. Statistically, you know, I was looking over them today and I was writing about it where they're identical to what they were last year, like mid-range shooting, transition defense, all of these things. Their strengths are almost identical as last season. Their weaknesses are almost identical as last season. Like from a statistical output, they're almost identical. So this is the exact same team they were last year, which I think speaks to coaching. Monty Williams is doing a tremendous job with them. For me, so I was on Utah last night. I actually laid the opening number 9.5. It closed like 10.5, 11. So what has bothered me with Utah has been their bench ER has not been really that good. Like if you look at some of the numbers when Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley are off the court, their offensive rating like plummets. And I don't know if this is just like an early season type of deal. Jordan Clarkson, I think if people don't remember, in the second half of the year was just a chucker. Like he won Sixth Man of the Year, but he was not very good in the second half of the year. Like, I wonder if this bench is going to start to improve or if this is what they are. Because that's the thing that's bothered me with Utah, why I have them a little bit lower in the West than both Golden State and Phoenix.
That's interesting. I haven't really, paid that much attention. No, I mean, Clarkson, I'm not a huge fan of his game. He's very inefficient from an offensive perspective. You know, they just got Rudy Gay going, so that'll definitely help this team. And Mike Conley so far at least is playing a lot more than he did last year, etc. We'll see how long that continues, but with him staying healthy, that's obviously going to help the depth of this team moving forward. But yeah, I would say after, you know, Rudy Gay and Joe Ingles, after that it's going to be a little sketchy with Utah, which it's probably going to be a little sketchy with pretty much most every team you talk about in the NBA. So I would think it's nothing really all that out of the ordinary. Perhaps they're playing their starters just a little bit less to start the season.
Yeah. So and Golden State too, I bet them, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, to win that Pacific Division of play. They were like plus 275 still.
Oh wow.
Yeah, William Hill, they were still hanging a little bit of a stale number. So they're in the driver's seat there, driver's seat for the top seed in the West, outside of Phoenix, who has been absolutely tremendous. So let's go over to the Eastern Conference for some of the big boys before we get to some of maybe some sneaky teams and maybe some disappointments as well. The Eastern Conference is weird, right, because Brooklyn's clearly, like, not as good, and especially they need Kyrie, and they haven't been healthy, right? Joe Harris has been out of the lineup. They got role players like Bruce Brown, who have been missing time as well. James Harden had struggles early on when it comes to getting used to this. What have you made of Brooklyn's struggles? And, like, the straight-up results are there, but they're clearly being rated at ER by the market, like, as one of these powerhouse teams. In reality, that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's very tricky to gauge some of these teams because what we see now is definitely not what we're going to see. I mean, the whole Kyrie thing is obviously a black cloud. You're really not hearing that much about it now. But, you know, when you have a team that's kind of built on these two or three superstars, and, you know, when one of those stars is out and they kind of have to just put everything together as a team, and, you know, you're not going to be able to pay these guys a lot, et cetera. It's just always going to be a little bit of a work in progress. You know, like Blake Griffin has not been good. You know, some of these guys are just, you know, what they're going to get from Aldrich, Millsap, trying to find a role for these guys. And, you know, you basically, it's almost hard to come together as a team, and especially when you're playing with KD and Harden. So it's just hard to explain. You know, they can kind of turn it up from a talent perspective when they want to. But, yeah, I mean, and I can't say that I've really bet on or bet against Brooklyn that much for the most part. I haven't paid that much attention. Seems like I haven't bet them from a totals perspective as well. But it's just kind of this going through the motions probably till about Christmas to see where they're at.
This is the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast. Interact with the show on Twitter at me, JVT, at Roach_97, and at VSIN Live.
So, as I said, the Eastern Conference is kind of weird, right? Because you have Brooklyn, and like you said, we don't even know what to make of them. Yeah, I got asked the other day, like, are you worried about Milwaukee? So Milwaukee hasn't even been healthy. Like, they haven't even played together at all.
Yeah, I mean, I've bet against – yeah, I mean, I really made a lot of money betting against the Milwaukee Bucks to start the season. I made money betting against them last year in the regular season. I mean, this team was, you know, they were not going to show up really this year for the regular season, especially – when you had Holiday and Middleton go to the Olympics, et cetera. They played deep into the postseason, winning an NBA title. They didn't pay attention to the regular season that much last year as well. I mean, I think maybe the surprising thing to me is as much as Giannis has played, because I would have thought that he would have sat out a lot for this team. But this team has zero sense of urgency. You're going to have nights like, you know, the other night where they beat Orlando by about 80 points. But you're going to have a lot of nights where they don't show up and don't cover as well.
Yeah, the tied for the fourth worst cover rate among teams in the NBA right now. 7-11 against spread, 38.9%. So, again, you know, as people say, if you bet against them every single game, you're up by quite a bit. So Milwaukee has not been great, but they've also not been healthy. And, you know, you mentioned that Orlando game. We'll start to see glimpses of, like, Milwaukee the bully against some of these bad teams now that Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday and Giannis are back together, and once Brooke Lopez comes back. But clearly, I think, big picture-wise, I still think – I actually think Milwaukee might be the best team in the Eastern Conference, especially if Brooklyn's just going to roll with those two and Kyrie doesn't ever come back. But we also get the team that I'm watching right now as we record this, and that would be Miami. So have you taken in much of Miami? Where do you have Miami rated, and what have you made of them? Because I will tell you this, the one thing that has bothered me with the Heat is, again, kind of like with Utah – it's great that you got a 20-point per game score off the bench to Tyler Hero, but the next best guy is Markieff Morris at 7 points a game. Like, that's, I think that's kind of bothersome that your bench is not really productive outside of one dude.
Yeah, they are my top power rated team, JVT, in the Eastern Conference. And again, what I put them as the top team, you know, if the playoffs were going to start in a week and teams could kind of, you know, reconfigure themselves, et cetera, probably not. But, you know, this has been a good regular season team at times. And, you know, the addition of Kyle Lowry has seemed to add a little something to this team. You're right. Hero off the bench seems improved, but you know, especially when he's missing and he's cold and he throws in that 5-19 performance, that's when this bench especially struggles. But you're right. And generally the Heat have been kind of a deep team. But it is sketchy. I mean, you know, Markieff Morris has been out, but I don't put much into him. Caleb Martin can't give you much from an offensive perspective. Max Struss can't give you much from a defensive perspective. Interesting to see if they do get anything out of Victor Oladipo. I really haven't heard or paid that much attention to that fact, but obviously he would come on and help this team. And Miami's always a team that's going to go out there and try to make a trade and improve themselves. And I would say that they're probably going to need to maybe do that if they want to win this, I guess you could say, difference maker, or have a real shot to win the East.
So any outside of the big teams, any of, we'll call them diamonds in the rough, anything from a spread, for a side perspective or a totals perspective, that you think the market hasn't really caught up on yet?
As far as just any team?
Yeah.
I really been fading the Bucks and the Lakers just about every game. And I guess I got off of fading the Bucks here of late, whether that was wrong or right. But obviously The Lakers have been the worst spread team in the NBA. And I'll continue even when LeBron James comes back until this team shows a little bit more. I mean, I have them as a, even with LeBron right now, a league average team. I don't know how they're 9-9 straight up, JVT, because it doesn't seem like they have been that good. But, you know, it's a little strange. Obviously, Orlando and Houston and New Orleans, teams that we expected to struggle, have been not good against the spread. So, you know, Oklahoma City's been an interesting team. I wish I would be betting this team more, but obviously everybody expected this team to tank, but they're really slipping inside those 8, 9, 10 point numbers, obviously winning some games as well. So maybe they're a team that can carry some value moving forward, because, you know, I think this is still an improving team. They have a lot of different unique players. You can probably go a little bit more about the players, but right now, 6-11 straight up, 11-6 against the spread.
Yep. You know, so one of the things that I like about Cleaning the Glass, it's a good statistical website. They have a metric ER. It's called win differential. So essentially what it is it takes your statistical profile and it tells you what the difference between the number of games the team has won and what would be expected based on their efficiency differential. And you mentioned the Lakers, because I'm with you. I'm like, how you look at this team overall, I'm like, how in the world are you 9-9? According to their win differential metric, they have three more wins than a team with their profile probably should. So, like, speaking to of, like, playing above their head, I agree with you. Like, even when LeBron comes back, this team is, like, they're a mess. And, like, they'll be a play-in team, I think, again. But I don't think they're, like, a threat to win the Western Conference in any way whatsoever. I was just talking with Jeff Sherman at the Westgate, and he told me, you know, they finally got a bet on the Lakers to win the title at 16-1. They've been increasing the odds every day.
Wow, that's that wasn't me that made that bet. I can tell you that. You know, it's strange. I mean, you and I, you know, watch NBA each and every day, kind of understand how the game is won and lost at this point in this time point in history, I guess. And you just kind of wonder how this team was built and put together. What they've been paying attention to, and how you could put this mass of players. To me, the best way to explain it, JVT, is you have this Washington Wizards who have been great, and they're 11-6 straight up, 10-7 against the spread, cooled off a little bit here lately, obviously. And then you take the Lakers, 9-9 straight up, 6-12 against the spread. What's the one common denominator? The big trade for Russell Westbrook. In the off season, I mean, it, you know, people say superstar, you know, triple double, this and that. I mean, he really doesn't help improve your team whatsoever. So that's one thing to kind of look at, is really the value. And for me, a lot of the NBA is just kind of come down to, I'm looking to bet against and bet on certain players, really from a against the spread perspective and an over under perspective.
Yep, I completely agree. And, yeah, Washington's one of those teams, too, that I have on the list of potentially playing against here a little bit more frequently. I think they're kind of on their way down. I just think, you know, you talk about the way games are won and lost. You can't shoot as bad as they do, right? And I think continuously win games in this league, you know?
I'm liking it. 5-12 to the under. So yep. I like when they slow it down to absolutely nothing and can't shoot.
All right. ER. Well, it was fun. A good couple of minutes. I won't keep you too long, but I appreciate the time, and I hope the season continues for you, bud.
You bet. Same to you. Anytime.